Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
At the end of the day, when God is with me, like the Bible tells us, who can be against me? And I had to learn that the hard way. I had to learn that through my upbringings. I had to learn that through cancer, through a recent aneurysm that I had in my head.
This episode of Becoming Her is brought to you by Sana Skin Studio. Sana is a skin studio that is shifting the relationship with your skin and your products through goal-driven facials, real guidance, and clean skincare. Stay tuned for my unique promo code so you can get $35 off of your first facial at Sana Skin Studio.
Welcome to the Becoming Her podcast with me, Nikki Spolstra. This is a space where we explore the human experience and the challenges, obstacles, and resiliency that shape who we are. Alongside expert guests and featured friends, I am here to host meaningful conversations that tackle life's complex challenges with humor, grace, and a little bit of sass. You are here for a reason, for the collective growth, so we may deepen our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
Hey, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Becoming Her podcast with me. I'm your hostess, Nikki Spolstra. This is a podcast where we celebrate women who are unapologetically stepping into the her of her highest desires, no matter what chapter of life that they are in. We are doing this unapologetically. We are celebrating our deepest sense of inner knowing. And I'm excited for today's guest and today's conversation because we're sitting down with a woman whose story is a masterclass in grace, grit, and growth, Yuri Cordero. Yuri is the vice president and executive producer of Univision and has been a leading force in the Spanish language media for over 27 years. But beyond titles and accolades, she is a woman who has walked through fire and come out stronger, softer, and more certain of who she is. She recently released her first English language book, The Virtue of the Process. And let me tell you, it is more than a memoir. It is a soul-stirring invitation to find purpose in pain, faith in the unknown, and beauty in the becoming. Yuri shares her story of growing up with a mother battling mental illness, surviving breast cancer, and climbing to the top of an industry that often overlooks women like her. This conversation is for every woman who has ever asked, why me? And for those of us learning to trust that the process isn't just preparing us, it is transforming us. So grab your journal, grab your tea, and let's lean into the journey with Yuri Cordero. Yuri, welcome to the Becoming Her podcast, where I think that you just simply embody what it means to become her and to be continuing the journey of becoming her.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I hear all that and I'm like, I can't believe it sometimes.
Are you?
Yes.
Like, are you ever like, I cannot believe I've gotten here?
Absolutely. But you know what? I will accept absolutely everything I have accomplished. And I think that's what happens to us many times. We do all these great things and we continue to doubt ourselves over and over.
It's
and
so
everybody around us says, you're incredible. You're this, you're that. But people talk often about the imposter syndrome, and I think it's very prevalent in successful women.
Yeah.
It is, even at this day and age.
Like, I don't deserve a seat at the table.
Absolutely not.
Oh my gosh.
The seat is mine. And you know where I noticed that? I noticed that one day when I became a board member of the local national, NAMI Miami is a National Alliance of Mental Illness.
Okay.
And I looked around on the table and it said CEO, owner of this. It said president. And I'm like, and I'm vice president of a program. And I'm like, I have a seat at this table. Mm-hmm. When I sat in the table of Brian Tracy and all that amazing people, there were owners of plane companies, an Olympian. And I'm like, I have a seat at this table. We need to believe that we are supposed to be there. Because if that door wasn't for you to open and walk in, it would have never let you go inside and
That's
sit.
That's right. It just wouldn't have opened.
It wouldn't have opened. It would have just been like, next.
Yuri, I have an example of that. I was invited to a women's dinner for thought leaders, and it was a round table, and it was at Dirty French in Brickell, right? And I'm like, okay, great. And all the women are going around the table, And, you know, I'm very proud of where I've come from. I'm born of a Puerto Rican mother, American father. My family has been in Miami for a very, very long time. My grandparents got engaged at Coral Gables High School, you know. So I've been here. I'm very proud Miamian. And I get invited to this dinner, and it's a round table, and all the women are going around and introducing themselves. And they're like, I'm so-and-so, and I went to Harvard Law, and I'm so-and-so, and I went to Cornell, and I went to Yale, and I'm this, and I'm that. And all these Ivy League women, and I'm just, it gets to me, and I'm like, hey, I'm Nikki, and I went to public school my whole life. Amen. And I remember I called my best friend, who she went to University of Miami for law school, and she got a job in big law where she was surrounded by a ton of Ivy League people. And she said exactly what, because I was like, oh my gosh, what was I doing there? I felt so insecure and so insignificant and so like out of my league. I felt so much out of my league. And one of my biggest insecurities, Yuri, is that for the longest time, I always felt that I wasn't smart. Mm. So I went to that table and I felt all of my triggers coming up. Like, what? See, I shouldn't be here. See, I shouldn't be here. There's everybody else is here and they're bigger and better and more important and they have more accolades than I do. And I don't know what I'm doing here. I called my best friend and she's like, the door, she said exactly what you said. She's like, Nikki, the door, if you weren't supposed to be there, the door would not have opened for you.
Absolutely. I always tell people when I walk into places, I walk in with a yes. Because if you walk in with a no, you already lost. I'm Puerto Rican Dominican. I got here when I was 10 years old. I was the little fat girl that came from another country. And trust me, I was bullied. I was bullied and
I'm
a
sorry
lot.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but you know what happened with the bullying? I never cared. I would brush it off because I had
Good
learned at an early age that I had to be tough, and being tough is a difficult thing because then you don't release, then right. You hold all this stuff inside.
I was just
inside.
About to ask you.
Yes.
Do you get tired? Aren't you
absolutely.
Tired? I'm tired of being tough. I've been tough
yes.
my whole life. Here I am, tired.
Yes. It's exhausting. It's exhausting making all the decisions all the time,
that's right.
Taking care of yourself 150% of all the time. But you know what? It's also a good thing because at the end of the day, when God is with me, like the Bible tells us, who can be against me? And I had to learn that the hard way. I had to learn that through my upbringings. I had to learn that through cancer, through a recent aneurysm that I had in my head. I've been through so many things. I grew up, I went to public school my whole life. I remember when I was 13 years old, I was working at a flea market. Hialeah Opa-locka flea market.
Oh, I know it.
Oh, it was crazy. And it was crazy. They had a little jingle. Yeah. And it said, Hialeah Opa-locka is the place to be. I never forget
it. Oh my gosh,
it.
I remember.
Yes. And I was like, it definitely was. Because it showed me that where I started wasn't where I finished.
Amen.
Because everything that I went through, everything that I learned, all that hardship made me who I am today. And people often ask, well, why? What would you tell that girl? I said, I would tell her absolutely nothing. I would smile and be like, don't worry.
Don't worry.
All will be well. And there's so many new things that are coming. I know that there are. Because God is not finished with us yet, Nikki.
I know it.
He's not finished. If not, he wouldn't open new doors.
Exactly. That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. You know, I think about that a lot. And I think what I would have told my younger self is like, don't worry. I think that is the advice that I would have given myself. Yes. Is like, girl, you so got this. Like, you're going to face some hardships, but you so got this. But I think it is hard, right? Like, when we go through life and we've been through hardships and you've been through your hardships and I've been through my hardships. And something that I always think about is that your hardship is not more significant than mine. Everything is subjective, right? The worst thing that could have ever happened in your life is the worst thing that happened in your life. Mm-hmm. Just like the best thing that happened in your life is yours, mm-hmm. which is different than somebody else's, which is different than mine. It's all subjective. It carries the same weight in a different person's life as it does, regardless of what it is. So something that I preach a lot about, I don't like to use it, I don't preach, I just explain it, is that we're all going through very similar things. They're just packaged differently, right? So your feelings that you have underneath when you're facing these tough things is very similar. What are you experiencing really? What is the root feeling of the things that you face, right? Fear, shame, judgment, I'm scared. What are people going to think, right? These are all like recurring themes in whatever it is that we're facing. Okay, I'm facing a cancer diagnosis. I'm scared. What am I scared of? Real things. How am I going to provide for my family? What are they going to do? How am I going to, I don't want to die. I don't want it. When you're faced with mortality, you're thinking about all of these things. And as many people know, I faced that to an extent with my son when he was diagnosed with cancer, right? And I'm like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Fear. Okay, starting a new business. What are people going to think of me? Mm-hmm. I'm ashamed. Who am I? to have a voice? Who am I to say the things that I say, right? All of these things people are experiencing in their own ways, but it all comes down to the same root. And that's why it's so important for us, Yuri, to have these conversations, right? Where we kind of like pull the curtain back and we show people the things that we're going through and how we can overcome them. It's not just about us being strong, but it's about us sharing it. And it's like a sense of duty that I feel anyway, is that we share our experiences so that we can bring other people. And then in this space, we bring other women along with us. And we say, okay, no, you can totally do this. Like, absolutely. It can be done.
Yes. How about having a little empathy?
Right.
Just because you went through it and you felt a certain way and you dealt with it a certain way doesn't mean that that is my experience.
Right.
Perhaps we went through the same exact thing, but for me, it was horrific, horrific, horrific. When I had cancer, I went through several surgeries. And I remember during the third one, I was sitting one day in my bed and I was looking at the clock and it kept ticking and I couldn't get out of bed and I had to like push myself out, crawling. When I sit back down, I hear a voice that says, the world doesn't stop because you're not here. And I said, heard it again. And I knew it was talking straight to me and I knew it was God. And I said, the one that has to change is me.
Yeah.
I had to take care of myself. I am important. I got to take care of my health, not for my children, but for me. I have to give myself space. I gotta limit myself. I gotta be good to me. We're not good to ourselves sometimes.
I've been thinking about that a lot. Is like sometimes I feel like I'm on the go so much, right? I might have three small young children who are very in a very needy space of their life. They need their parents, right? And so I'm going nonstop. And there's times where I think to myself, girlfriend, you got to slow down.
They're always going to need us.
They're always going to need us. But I'm like, you need to, I talk to myself. I'm like, this is a sign for you to slow down. I remember, you know, I'm so thankful that I have childcare for my family. And something happened where one of my childcare professionals was no longer able to come work for us, right? For her own personal reasons. And I thought to myself, after I had a meltdown of like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this by myself? I was like, no. This is a sign from God that we all need to slow down a little bit. Like I need to slow down and be more present with my children, right? I think that there's always a silver lining towards things. And that's not to say that we should go and bypass the feelings of it, right? Right. Mm-hmm. We need to deal with how, like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming and that's okay. We can deal with it. But like, I do think that messages come to us in ways in those hardships, especially. I think that there's signs.
That's where you learn.
Yeah.
That's why it's called the virtue of the process.
Tell me about that.
Because the virtue at the end of the day is the difference, I want to say, between good and evil. What you learn from it is what gets you to the next level. And if you don't learn, some people say, I feel like this always happens to me because you keep doing it the same.
Yeah. So it's like the definition of insanity,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's a vicious cycle. And trust me, when you read the book, wow, it happened to me again. And I lived even something that happened to my mother because maybe she didn't learn and those are generational things that happen to us because they're in our family. And I made the same mistakes. Like right now, I'm so proactive with my children. They're adults. Mm-hmm. But I'm so proactive with them, making sure that their future is different from mine. I want it to be better. I don't want there to be divorce. I want them to have these strong marriages that surpass the path of time.
What do you think makes a strong marriage?
I think trust makes a strong marriage. Respect makes a strong marriage. Mutual admiration makes a strong marriage. It can't be one way. It has to be mutual.
Yeah.
Because yes, as women, and I'm a woman of faith, we, you know, there's an order in God and we, you know, it's God, it's God, the man, the woman, the children, your job, your ministry. But even though the man is the head, we are the neck.
I always say that. Aram, don't I always say that? I always say that the women are the neck that turn the head.
We are the neck, and without us.
Women are the neck.
Yes, without us. The head doesn't move, but we have to be good counsel. We have to be the person that they trust the most, that they know that when they come to us, we're going to guide them correctly. And I want to be that in my next marriage. I want to be completely different because I know I'm going to get married.
Amen, sis. Same deal.
So, yes. You know, we got to think like that. And I've learned so many things. I've learned so many things through those processes that I've had, you know, but I'm grateful for every single one of them. You think you'll never get over them, but you do, and you learn, and you teach others, and it's wonderful. You'll be surprised all the things that you can accomplish once you accept and see things as blessings.
Let's take a quick break so I can thank our sponsor, Sana Skin Studio, with their OG location in Wynwood and their additional locations in Fort Lauderdale and Coconut Grove. Okay, so the best way I can describe Sana is that it feels like coming home. Unlike traditional facials, Sana's facials are rooted in education, and I love this so much. Every experience I've had at Sana has been a chance for me to learn more about my skin and its needs. I love that the facials are effective while also being accessible enough to be a monthly ritual rather than a yearly splurge. This is why the Sana membership is so great. I'm honored to be able to provide our audience with a promo code. Use the code NikkiSpoGlow for $35 off of your first facial when booking at SanaSkinStudio.com and additional incentives if you book a membership. I have absolutely loved my skin healing journey with Sana Skin Studio. If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow-up. You can connect with me personally on Instagram at @NikkiSapsBo and @WeAreBecoming_Her. For more information on all of the things, visit NikkiSpo.com. Absolutely.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Absolutely. I've started to think about that a lot. I'm like, everything that comes into my life is for a reason. And I know it kind of sounds kind of corny, right? Because you hear it, you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, everything happens for a reason. You know, like there's certain things like that shouldn't be happening. Children shouldn't be getting cancer. Like babies shouldn't be dying. Like there's certain things that shouldn't be happening. But I do choose to think of everything that happens in my life as like an opportunity to learn and grow. Yes. And I do remember, Yuri, there was a part of my life where I kept having to learn the lesson over and over and over again. And the same lesson kept presenting itself to me over and over and over again. And I was realizing that by doing the same thing, I wasn't getting anywhere. I wasn't growing. Mm-hmm. But the lesson will continue to present itself to you until you learn the damn lesson. Like until you learn it, it will continue to show up in your life over and over and over again, sometimes in the same ways, sometimes in different ways. I know that as a single person, I went out into the dating world and I was like, oh my gosh, here's a lesson that is being presented to me. Like, you already know. I was like, thank you, God. I learned this lesson already. Next. You know, I'm like, thank you, God. I already learned this lesson. I don't need to put my energy into something, you know? And so I think you come to a place when you go through life that you can decipher where your energy goes when you move forward.
We have control.
Yeah.
We have control where we go, what we do. We are women of authority. We are women of power. We are women of decision. Yeah. We are the decision makers.
So then how does the head come into play, right? So if the woman is the neck and the men are the head, what role does the head play in the equation?
I'm going to put this completely simple, and some people may not like it.
That's okay.
But the man is supposed to be in complete and utter control of, he has a big job. The thing is that we wear many hats, but he has the biggest job of all. The biggest job of all. Because he's supposed to be the provider, the spiritual leader, the person who helps you bring up the children, the financial ready person. It's not just, being telling you what to do. No. We're supposed to make decisions together. This is supposed to be a partnership. He might be the CEO, but we're the vice presidents and the SVPs. This is supposed to be something that we do together and we make it happen. We're supposed to be a powerful couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in charge. But if you're doing something wrong, I'm going to tell you.
Right.
And you have to listen to me and hear me out and explain that what I want is the best for you. Because what's best for you is best for us.
Yeah.
It's best for us. And it took me a while to learn that. I'm telling you that flat out. I've always, because of the hardship that I had in my youth, I was always wanted to be the boss. It's tiring.
I totally get
it's
that.
It's tiring.
I don't want to be the boss anymore.
I don't.
You know, now in this phase of my life, Yuri, I'm like, I don't want to be in charge. I want to be led. I would love to be led.
But what happens, Nikki? You better be a good leader.
Yes, that's right. But that's
because
right.
Because if you don't lead me correctly, I'm going to stop you. And I'm going to say, no, that's not how we're going to do things. Because this is not good for our family, for our children, our finances.
That's right.
It's not we're going to do everything you say, because in some homes, he's the moneymaker, right? And the woman perhaps maybe doesn't work, whatever. But even then, you can make wrong decisions. I'm looking at it from far away. Be careful, because whatever you decide can mean huge changes for our family, for our future, for our generation. It's not about us.
Yeah.
It's about the future and where we're taking our family. It doesn't end here.
I think it works in tandem, right? Yes. Because you have to like prioritize the marriage.
Yes.
And then everything else falls into place. Like your children will see that. They fall in line when they have these two, the neck and the head, operating in true integrity of how they are supposed to operate. Now, here's the thing is that not a lot of people know this. You go into marriages, you don't know. People don't tell you these things. Like, I was talking with a friend recently, and they were saying, like, some of my friends, that they're not religious per se, but spiritual, right? And how a lot of faith-based marriages, right, you go to class before you get married. In a Catholic church or in a Christian marriage, you will go and meet with the pastor or the priest, and you will have a group session. In Judaism, you do this before you get married. And whether you believe in it or not, these are opportunities to learn the values of compatibility and lifelong partnership, that I think that we live in a world that moves away from that. And we see faith as something that is oppressive. And it can be for some people. Like, I'm not denying that. It can be for some people. But we can take from it what we want, right? And we learn the values and the systems and carry those with us, because those things are very important for marriages to thrive, for individuals to thrive, and for parents to continue raising strong, resilient youth who are focused on integrity and understand values and principles. So I want to go back to some of the things that happened early in your childhood, because those were very formative for you, clearly, in making you the strong and tough woman that you are. I think that when we grow up as children who need to be adults earlier than we're supposed to be, right, we were like, there's, I don't know, and you can tell me if this was the same for you, but I had an aversion to authority, because I'm like, I'm grown. I'm doing adult things. I'm taking care of myself as a child. Mm-hmm. You know, that was beyond my years. I shouldn't have been even, I was precocious because I had to be precocious. Right? I had to handle things. And what did it do? It gave me a great life skill of being able to get stuff done, make things happen, be a leader, right? And as I move into I'm 38 years old, I move into like my adult womanhood as a mother, as a new divine feminine, as a modern matriarch on my terms, I don't know that I want to be all of those things. Right? Yeah. But I know that they got me here.
Absolutely.
So I respect it. I'm grateful for them. And now I'm like, okay, does this energy serve me any longer?
Yes, it does.
Does it? Tell me. Absolutely. So tell me about your experience.
I come from a matriarch.
Yeah.
It was my grandmother and my grandfather. But, you know, in those times, the baby boomers were a different kind of relationship.
Yes.
But my grandmother was a woman of a country woman. I'm going to say it like that. And she was the strongest woman that I knew. She was the biggest leader that I knew because she multiplied herself. She created four powerful women, but she knew how far to take it with my grandpa. She knew, what the limits were with him. And she knew how to get things done despite being in a relationship where he was the boss. My grandfather was the boss. He was very quiet, but this is what I will say. I have been working since I was 13 years old. I have never been without a job since that age. I knew early on that my family couldn't do certain things. My mother had a mental illness. My father was not in the picture. I grew up with my aunts, my uncles, and my grandparents were my parents. Since I was 6 months old, my mother was a manic depressive schizophrenic. It wasn't diagnosed till later on. So I learned early on to adjust to situations. And people are like, oh, but what do you mean? You grew up with your grandparents and your aunts. Yes, I did. That shouldn't be normalized. You're supposed to grow up with your parents. They're supposed to be responsible enough to take care of you.
Yes.
For many, many years, I lived with a lot of resentment and abandonment issues that I carried I carried all the way till, perhaps my 40s as I got closer to God and I started learning that I was important. Because we forget who we are. We get into this wheel of doing and doing. At 18 years old, I sat my grandfather down. I said, abuelo, I can't deal with the situation in my home anymore, in this house anymore, with my mother and her issues. I'm going to move out.
Yeah.
I sat him down, my grandpa. It was. I couldn't believe I was doing that. And I left. I got my own apartment. I put myself through college. I think I paid off. I went to a private Catholic university. I don't know why I did that, but I did. I paid it off years after. But what happens? Then you make wrong decisions picking partners because you think you're a boss. So you think you're making the right decision.
Gosh.
And you get married at 21 and no regrets. Because why? Because out of that relationship came out two beautiful children. And
amen.
And everything was fine. But wow, if I perhaps would have loved myself more, I wouldn't have jumped into relationships that perhaps were not good for me.
But it's hard because you only see that sometimes in hindsight, right?
Absolutely.
When you grow,
that's where you see it. Yeah.
Right. You see it in reverse. You're like, oh, everything makes sense in hindsight.
Yes.
Right. Like you can look at yourself and be like, oh, I picked a blank partner because I was exposed to blank experience in my childhood, which led me to pick this very comfortable situation, right? Which were right or wrong, better or worse, was a comfortable environment for all of the things that I brought with me from my own childhood.
Yeah, because you're so young.
And vice versa.
Yes.
Our partners as well. Pick us because there's some sort of comfort in whatever it is. And, relationships are not one-sided. I talk to a lot of women. I talk to a lot of women in my community. And I hear a lot of talk about, he did this and he did that and he did this and he did that. And of course, I'm sure there are parts that he did whatever. We have a part in it too.
Yes.
No matter what. It takes two in a relationship.
It takes two. I wasn't perfect.
Right.
I wasn't perfect.
And thank goodness, thank God I've had the humility maybe to kind of like sit with that and be like, oh, those are qualities I don't like about myself that I brought in. And I don't want to do that in the next time I'm in a serious relationship with somebody,
You know what happens? Like with me, I always had dreams, bigger dreams of doing bigger things.
Yes.
And I felt I was brought up to be a provider. I wasn't brought up
that's
to
a very
be,
masculine. That's
yes,
a very masculine energy,
it
Yuri.
Is.
So what about that? Like, how do you feel about that? How does that
I was
fit into your...
It's good and it's bad.
Yeah.
The thing is that I had to take care of myself. I made the choice to move out.
Right.
So I had to take care of myself. So I learned to take care of myself from a very early age. If I wanted to buy Gloria Vanderbilt jeans, I knew I had to work 2 weekends.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I learned the value of money at an early age.
Right.
I didn't want to have to depend on anyone. Why? Because I couldn't depend on anyone.
Well, you didn't want to, of course, and you don't want to have the rug like swept out from under you.
Yes.
I can totally relate to
that. I was in control.
Right.
So what happens when you want to be in control all the time? You're a little bit shooting yourself in the foot also.
That's so true.
Because you're not letting other people even help you because you sometimes block them out yourself.
Oh my gosh. We block our own blessings all the time.
No, we block the help out. We block it out. No, I can do it. No, I can do it. I had a friend of mine one day. We were sitting in our house. We were having like a girls' brunch. And she was like, no, because I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. And I was quiet. And I'm like, how's that working out for you? What do you mean? How is that working out for you? What does he do if you do it all? What does he do? Birds chirping.
Yeah.
Do you want to do everything? Do you want to take away the responsibility from your partner? Because I did that many times.
Yeah.
What happens to us?
It's also emasculating. It's almost borderline emasculating. Like, unpopular opinion, like not letting a man help you out. Even if, you know, maybe he doesn't want to help you out and that's a different ball game. Like, that's a different conversation.
That's something else.
That's something different. Maybe you want to, like, maybe you want to not be in that. But, like, by not letting him provide for you, it's a form of emasculating him.
Yes, it is.
Like, why do you want to be the man?
Thank you.
In your relationship? But I don't want to be a man in my relationships
correct,
at all.
Correct. But to women that are bosses, that are the boss babes, which I think is crazy, but women who are leaders, then we're seen as somebody who wants to take away power. I don't want to take away anybody's
power. I
want to
be additive. I want to be additive. Yes. I want you to like throw it into the recipe and be like, oh, this makes this recipe really,
Let's
really good.
Let's both be powerful. Yeah. Let's both be powerful. Let's be that power couple. But I did it for many years. I'm honest. I took away people's power. I took away my husband's power. It was my way or the highway. And that doesn't always work out because at the end of the day, you're the one that's going to suffer in the end.
This podcast was brought to you by Sana Skin Studio. Be sure to use my code NIKKISPOGLOW for $35 off of your first facial at Sana when booking via sanaskinstudio.com. More than a skin studio, Sana is a movement towards healthier skin and self-love. Thank you for listening to the Becoming Her podcast. If you love this episode, share it with a friend who may need to hear what we spoke about today. And if you really love this episode, make sure to leave a 5-star rating and a review. Your comments are so important and valued, and they give other listeners insight on what to expect from Becoming Her. If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow up. You can connect with me personally on Instagram at @NIKKISAPSBO and @WeAreBecoming_her. For more information on all of the things, visit NIKKISPO.com. My hope for you today is that you are courageous and looking inward so that you can be your highest, most authentic self and go after the life of your dreams.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.